Those memorable moments of receiving something. There was a purpose behind the giving, and there was an emotion that came about because of that gift. Now, I remember Josiah was born January 10th, 2000. And before, I was kind of hoping and thinking, you know, he's going to be a New Year's baby, and somebody in Kingsland is going to give us a year's supply of diapers. Woo! You know, and so New Year's came and went. But I remember the Christmas before that. And, you know, it was just so amazing, you know, for it being your first child. Not that he's the special one, because there, I have other ones. They kind of fight sometimes which one's special. Right. Okay. That's fine. Yes, yes. And so, but it was just a wonderful thing. It's just like, wow, you know. In a month, I thought a couple of days. Of course, Shannon was hoping a couple of hours. But before on that Christmas, it was just a wonderful feeling of just knowing that, man, God, you've given us, and he hasn't been born yet. And one of the things that we always did is we always prayed over our kids, especially while, you know, they weren't born yet. We would pray. I would lay my hand on Shannon's belly, and we'd just pray over them. And so I'm just thankful to the Lord. And it's just that just kind of stands out. Because it was my first, it was our first child. And I was like, wow, I'm not worthy, God, I'm not worthy. But it was just amazing. You see, when gifts are given, they're given with a purpose in mind from the giver. Now, there could be some reasons behind the gift that you gave last year. Or maybe you've already given a couple of gifts already. Maybe the one that, you know, is a good reason for those that don't like to share their emotions. I just wanted to because I felt like it. And then maybe another one is because I want to show that I love you, to show that I care, to show that I was thinking of you. I can't remember if it was this Christmas, but the other this birthday or the one year before. And I mentioned about cashews, and someone gave me a container of cashews for my birthday. And, you know, I you know, someone would think, oh, that's, you know, you think nothing of it. But I was like, they remembered. So that, you know, that you know, like, oh, they were thinking about me. So, you know, to show that you care, that you were thinking of someone. Maybe some of you have given a gift because your wife told you to, or maybe because your mom told you to. Maybe you've given a gift to show off. I give better gifts than anybody else. Maybe you gave a gift in hopes that you'll get one in return. How many of you have ever given a gift that way? Be honest. Okay, I'm the only one, right? I'm being honest, okay? You've given a gift with hopes that you're going to get something in return. All right, slide one, please. Real quick, our celebration this month is about the greatest gift, and that's Jesus. And today I want to encourage you with three things real quick. The lowly shepherds that we're going to look up, that we're going to read about in a little bit, they were given the good news for all, not just one particular race, not just for one particular nation, but it was for all, is what the angels said, to anyone and everyone to hear this good news, the good tidings of great joy. There's a purpose in his great gift, in God's great gift, and a joy to praise God for such a great gift. And a lot of times, and I've experienced this, and I know people because I've grown up with these people. A lot of them are my family members, that they only celebrate the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind maybe once or twice a year. This is something that we got to, like I said earlier, that we got to celebrate every day. We could celebrate it every day of our lives. And the next thing that I want to encourage you with is that God will make it possible for you to see him, for you to know him, and for you to experience him and his love. Hopefully you're looking for it. And so, how many of you ever re-gifted a gift before that you were given? All right, you re-gifted it, okay? Can you really re-gift Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. God has given Jesus to you, and we need to share and give Jesus to others. Amen. And so, maybe not physically, but the good news of who he is and what he's done in your life. My question is, I hope you do, but why don't we do it all the time? So Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 16. Let's go to there real quick. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 16 is what we're going to read. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Jesus' name, Lord, anoint your word, Father. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Underline that, all people, if you want to. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now," underline now, "let us go now, not tomorrow, not whenever we corral all of our flock and then take them home, but let us go, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. They didn't take the time. It says that they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Father, we thank you for your word today. Give us revelation of your word, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So shepherds were in the field. Shepherds, why share the good news with shepherds? Scripture doesn't say this, but shepherds watching, they were watching over their sheep. Now, this is interesting. They were watching over their sheep, and the angel told them to go and find another lamb, the Lamb of God, who was being born. And this is pretty interesting because I'm picturing they have a lot of their flock and their shepherds. So it's not dogs. It's not cats. It's, you know, shepherds. And so they're shepherding over their flock. And so they leave them because it says they go in haste. They said, "Let us go now, not tomorrow, not the next day, but let's go now." So they leave them and they go to the one that has just been born. And he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I thought, wow, God, that is awesome. I never saw that before. That God spoke to angels, that God spoke through angels and spoke to shepherds. Now, shepherds, they're known, that job or that occupation or that livelihood, it's kind of like low income, poor, not high income, not a great, you know, thing to look forward to. And so whoever were shepherds, they were lowly people, common people. And being a shepherd wasn't a very good thing. You know, somebody wouldn't put in their high school yearbook that when they graduate, "I'm going to be a shepherd." That wasn't something that was, you know, very highly to look up to. And so these shepherds, lowly shepherds in the field, God will use anyone. He wants to use you. And I'm not saying that you're poor and lowly, but he wants to use anyone. He wants to use you to share, to re-give Jesus and give Jesus to somebody else who desperately needs to know about a Savior. He wants you to share Jesus. He wants you to share your Savior. This is interesting. I said this before. It is so easy for us to share the new pair of shoes we got, the new jacket, the new suit, the new car that we got, the new phone that we got. But why is it so hard to share our Savior? The one who saved us. Why don't we make haste? Why don't we go now? Not right now, but when the service is over. Why don't we go now with haste to share Jesus? To share about a Savior that God sent to all. And it was good tidings, good news for all men. And that on earth, peace and goodwill was going to be given to men. Let me say this. God greatly desires to share his news to you, to share his revelations with you, to share his words of wisdom to you, to share the understanding of his word to you. God wants to do that. He wants to reveal that to you. Are you listening? Are you awake? Yeah, really. Are you awake? Are you willing to believe that he is willing? If you are, I hope you will, because he is willing and he's able to reveal that stuff to you. But you got to make yourself available. And these shepherds, they were just in the field doing their stuff. They were just doing their work. And it says that they left in haste and they said, "Let us go now." I just want us to just focus on that real quick. They're doing their job. And yeah, it may not be very something elegant and, you know, very exciting to do. But they were spoken to angels. Another thing, when you look in Scripture, when angels speak to people, they end up getting afraid. It says people were afraid. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Why do you think they were afraid to begin with? One is supernatural. Okay. You know, and two, they have just left the presence of Almighty God. So maybe the glory, maybe the light was too bright. Maybe the glory just in that place. And they just felt like, oh, who am I? Oh, maybe that's why they got fearful. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news of great joy. And this is another thing. How many of you are walking in your salvation with great joy? See, because when I read that, the angels said, I bring you good news, good tidings of not just ordinary joy, of not just a little joy, great joy to all people. And I look at myself and I'm thinking, Lord, forgive me. I need to be walking in this salvation with great joy, with a great sense of urgency, that I go now, that I go with haste and I share Jesus. I re-gift Jesus and give Jesus to others. Lord, help us. Slide 2, please. Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. You get a chance, you can ask Shannon, and she'll be glad to share the story with you about how she believed there was an angel that watched over her, and that she walked and talked with this angel. I thought that was a very, very good story, and it caused me to think, Lord, have there been strangers that I passed, and they were angels? And it says that angels were sent to minister to us. And could have been that I passed up a stranger, and it could have been an angel that would have ministered something to me. Because the thing is that when we give stuff to people, when we help, it's more for us, it's beneficial for us. That's why it says that Jesus, Paul even said this in Acts 20, that Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? You minister to yourself a whole lot more when you give something that is yours to somebody else. When you give your time, when you give your resources to somebody, it is more beneficial. This is something that's hard for people to understand. Wait a minute. It's not more beneficial to give this last 20 in my pocket, is it, Lord? It's hard. How is it more beneficial? It does a whole lot to you, spiritually speaking. And it does a whole lot to you in ministry-wise that you learn, God, I'm going to trust you. God, all that I have is yours. As a matter of fact, Christianity.com had this article, and it says, there are 10 things that we discover when we learn to give. Number one, giving obeys God's command. Number two, giving submits to God's leadership. Number three, giving exhibits God's heart. Man, we're already learning stuff when we're giving. Number four, giving illustrates God's salvation. Greatest gift we'll ever receive. Number five, giving trusts God's provision. Giving widens God's smile. I'd love to see God smile. Giving advances God's kingdom. Amen. Giving promotes God's sanctification. Giving testifies to God's power. Giving praises God's character. Because the character of God is he loves to give. Yes. He gave the greatest and he loves to give. So that's why it was awesome when Paul said, and he quoted Jesus, because he says in Acts 20, 35, I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I pray that you learn that. Now, a lot of times we can get so caught up in the giving that we forget the reason why we're even giving. Because remember, as I mentioned before, we end up giving because, well, I just want to. Or we just give because, well, I don't want them to think that I forgot about them. I don't want them to think that I don't care about them. I don't want them to think that I'm cheap because they're going to give me a gift and I don't want to give them something from Dollar Tree. So, you know, I want to be able to get, and we get off track. What's the purpose in your giving? Think of all the gifts that you're about to buy or you've already bought. What was the purpose in those gifts? And just start thinking, man, if it's not to honor God, to glorify God, and to be a blessing, I need to pray over this gift to make sure that my attitude is right. Maybe I don't need to give him the gift. Maybe I need to pray over it for a while. Maybe I need to pray over myself for a while to make sure that my attitude, my heart, my mindset, and my desire really means worth giving, that I'm giving this gift to this person. You see, when God gave this gift, there was a purpose in his giving. And as the shepherds were there, I mean, I'm only thinking of the fact that a lot of Jews knew, slide 3, a lot of Jews knew what the Old Testament says. And in Isaiah 6, or Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." So as the shepherds heard the angels speak this, it just comes to me that they must have, maybe they just remembered what Isaiah said in Isaiah 9. They remembered that because many Jews were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and that this Messiah, he would be the Savior, not knowing that he would be the Savior of all mankind, not just one nation, but it was good news for all. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 25, real quick. Verse 17, it says, "Now when they had seen Jesus, they widely known the saying which was told concerning this child." Now, let's just stop there real quick. They widely known. The word widely means broad in the location or the area. They just spreaded that news. They found what the angel said, and then they found that the baby in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Verse 18, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the," who? "Shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God." They returned. They returned where? They returned because they had a bunch of flock. They had to go back. Where? Where their flock was. "So when they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Man, why doesn't that happen with us? We come to church, and you know what? I'm not sure how many of you, and I fall, I failed at this too. Because I've had to ask the Lord, and I had to walk out of the restaurant and then come back into the restaurant and give that person, you know, share something, share a word, or give them a track or whatever. But we leave church, and we go, and you might go out to eat, and you sit down and you eat, and you're having fun, a good conversation with friends and family, and then there's a waiter or waitress that's bringing you drinks and bringing you food, and you walk out and you never share what God spoke to you today, or what God revealed to you this week. Let me just share this real quick. And this is, it's not a prideful thing because it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus. Whenever you leave church and you go out to eat, you be a blessing to that waiter or waitress. I've learned something over the years. My wife taught me this, but I've learned. The Holy Spirit convicted me. I've learned over the years. Are you really going to be that put out that $2-3 is too much to give? An extra $2-3 than what you're supposed to already give, but an extra $2-3, is that really going to bankrupt you? Is it? Because I'll tell you what, I used to have this mentality. We're starting with $3. We're either going to go up or we're going to go down. How horrible. How horrible. You're going to tell me right now that that's an example of a follower of Christ? No. So be led by the Lord. Learn to give. Learn to give with good intention, and the purpose of giving is to demonstrate the love of God and Jesus. All right, where was I? Okay, so the shepherds, they went abroad and shared the gospel with people. Mary kept it in her heart. Now, verse 25, because the time had come where Joseph and Mary brought Jesus. In verse 25, it says that they brought Jesus to the temple. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the solace, waiting for the comfort of Israel. That's why that would be the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, now real quick, those of you that are moms, complete stranger come up to you and grab your child and lift him up, you're probably about to fight, right? But this is in the temple, okay? So, you know, don't think that this was, don't think that Mary was thinking about that. But anyway, this was in the temple, and Simeon came. So this is weird. And Simeon said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." He's holding baby Jesus. "According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Some people will fall, some people will rise. And for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Then there was another person that had walked into that temple on that same day. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things, Mary and Joseph and Jesus left. Now, why am I saying all this? People were waiting for the Messiah. And Simeon and Anna were two of them that were waiting. And by experience, I know that children train parents. Not even able to walk, but that child will train the parent or the adult to pick them up. And start whining and crying. Cause the parent to wake up out of a good deep sleep. Just to feed or change that baby. Train the parent to carry or rock them to sleep. Train the parent to look at a bunch of things in the cabinet and say, this, and to stand there till you go through everything and point out to find out what they want. Children know how to train parents. Here we have this child that's recognized as the Savior of the world. The angels told the shepherds that they'll find a babe, and they recognize this babe. This is very interesting. They recognized this babe as supreme authority because it said Jesus, or it said, let's go back to Luke 2. What does the angel say? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So this baby, this child, already recognized as supreme authority, already recognized as Savior. And people were waiting for this Messiah. And a grown man had trained himself. Listen, he trained himself to follow the will and the word of God. He could have chose at any point in time. God, you haven't arrived yet. God, I'm not coming to the temple no more because it's been many years and you gave me that word and it has not come to pass. You know what? Forget this. He trained himself to follow the word of the Lord, the will of the Lord, and he waited. He trusted in what God said, that God said, "You will not die till you see the coming of the Messiah." And he trained himself for that. This grown woman fasted and prayed in hope to one day see the Lord. She trained herself that I am going to trust, I'm going to rely, and I know that God is going to come to pass. Is there something wrong with us? What preparation are we making? There's a lot of things that people are doing. Brian mentioned about putting lights. I put up lights too, and it's a whole lot easier when you do it yourself. And that's just because I'm picky. But it's a whole lot easier when I do it myself. And so many people do a lot of preparation for Christmas, but yet they don't prepare their hearts for the coming of the Lord, the Savior. They don't prepare their lives for what God wants to do in them and through them. To wait on the instructions of the Lord for our lives. Why are we not preparing? And maybe you are, and if you are, great. But if you're not, today, now, make haste to make the preparation, to make the preparations for your heart and for your life, that you are waiting for the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Maybe the Lord spoke something to you, and don't give it up. Don't leave it, but continue. Continue to hold on to it. Train your bodies to be spirit-led and learn what it means to wait on the Lord. I'm still learning that, to wait on the Lord. Because, man, it is hard sometimes. Because myself, I like to put my hand to the mix and start mixing it. And it's like the Holy Spirit says, slapping my hand. No, leave it alone. Leave it alone. to train our bodies to be spirit-led and learn what it means to wait on the Lord for His coming, to make ourselves available for His work. Listen, I'm preaching to myself too here. My prayer is to never be ashamed of Jesus or the gospel. My prayer is to make haste and now share the gospel. Man, that's why the scripture says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. So why wait? Don't wait. And my prayer is to possibly act just like the shepherds did. They went away glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard. Slide 4. God gave us such a great gift. Let us learn how to give such great gifts as our Father has taught us. As He taught us to forgive, He's taught us how to love. He's taught us how to live. And don't tell me God has not taught you how to give because he gave Jesus to you. Let us be found putting Him into action what Jesus said and did. He did the Father's will and He was obedient all the way to the cross. I am certain that it is not possible to receive the good news, let alone accept the good news, accepting Jesus, and not get emotional. Listen, if you don't cry and snot and tears go all over the place, then rejoice. But I believe that it is, and I'm certain, it is not possible to receive and not get emotional. To know that you've been forgiven of your sins. To know that you're no longer going to fall and receive the just reward of your sin, which is death. But you're going to receive life. For some people, maybe it's got to sink in a little bit. Maybe it's got to take some time. I don't know. But man, to receive this good news, the shepherds, they were rejoicing and praising God as they left. If not in emotion, well, you know what? Then rejoicing of being set free from sin. Being set free. The fact that death no longer has a hold on me. The fact that the grave, I don't have to fear the grave. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I want to learn, God, how can I celebrate this Christmas better than I did last year? Think about how you celebrated Christmas last year. I don't know if you want to celebrate Christmas better than you did last year. I hope you do. I want to be available for the Lord and to be used more for the Lord this year than last year. There's a great gift that others need to know of, and it is Jesus. And we can re-gift Him and give Him, just as the shepherds did. Poor and lowly, but yet they received this good news and they were rejoicing and gladly sharing it. They made haste. They said, let us go now and find out the things that the angels said. And they went quickly. Let us go quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. But Lord Jesus, let us be found going quickly and making haste and sharing the good news. I close with this verse here. Psalm 71, verse 14 through 18. It says, but I will keep on hoping for your help. I will praise you more and more. I will tell everyone about your righteousness all day long. I will proclaim your saving power. Though I am not skilled with words. So there you go. Even though you might think, I don't know how to say it. I can't speak. I don't know. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Even though you're not skilled with words, you're well able. I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are just. O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me. O God, let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times people think that re-gifting Jesus is so hard. They think that it's just so difficult to just do this, to just give Jesus away. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And some of us are afraid of it. And why are we afraid of it? We're afraid because of what people are going to think, what people are going to say. Am I going to goof up? Am I going to mess up? Or maybe it's, if I give Jesus, then that puts me in a place of accountability that people are going to look at me and I can't mess up and I can't go to the club anymore and I can't live the life that I used to live. I'm not sure I'm willing to give that up. Shannon said a couple weeks ago, man, it was so good, so powerful. You can't say you're a Christian and not surrender your life to Jesus Christ and not live a life surrendered to God. You can't say you're a Christian and not surrender. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for your greatest gift that you've given us. Thank you, Father, Lord, I pray that we will make haste. I pray, God, that, Lord, I know that we're not supposed to be ruled by our emotions, but God, you gave us emotions. You created us this way. And God, something about understanding and knowing that I am saved, I am changed, I am forgiven, I am set free, I am no longer the same, but I am new in Christ, and I have eternal life in Christ, and I have righteousness in Christ. And God, I thank you for that. Somehow there's got to come an emotion that comes out of me, whether it's crying, whether it's tears of joy, whether it's an excitement, whether it's a great joy. God, I pray that I won't stand in the way, that I won't shut my emotions down because I just can't cry because I'm a man, or I just can't allow other people to see me this way. God, it is such great news that bring great joy. God, I pray that I will be found by you sharing Jesus, regifting Jesus in your precious name. Amen. Now, we're going to play a video in a little bit, but Jacob, you come on. These guys have some postcards, and I always think every time during Christmas and during some special moments to help you, because sometimes you guys are thinking, I don't know how to tell people, I don't know what to do. And so these guys are going to come around, and I thought about, you know what, if each family can get five, if you don't want five, just tell them, I just want one. We tell teenagers to reach out to five friends. It's called a five-friend focus. And I tell them, you got to know five friends. If you don't, you got to get out more. But you got to know five people at school. And you pray, live, tell, serve, and give them Jesus. And so these five postcards, it's just five. If you don't want five, then just take this. Tell them one. Just tell them two. But I'm challenging every family here to give five postcards, to mail them to a neighbor down the street, across the street, a friend, and just send them this postcard. Listen, some people really want it easy. It can't get any easier than this. Of you just putting their name on the back, and the whole front of it already says, invitation to the church services, invitation to the children's musical that we're going to have this month, invitation to a Christmas Eve service that we're going to have this month. And it's just an invitation to them coming. So you don't even have to say anything. You just have to just write.
They don't even have to know it's from you.
Yeah, they don't have to know it's from you. Just write down their name, their address. You want to put a little note, put a little note there. How easy can that be? So that's why I've challenged every family in the church to give five postcards away. Mail them out. Again, if you don't want to give five, that's fine. Okay? Just ask for one. But it can't get any easier than this. To share the greatest gift that any person can ever receive. And we're going to give them an invitation so they can hear about Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.